At the Nebraska Governor's Ag Conference in Kearney, we're going to talk with Greg Ibaugh, who is a former ag director from Nebraska and now undersecretary for marketing and regulatory programs in the USDA. Well, Greg, welcome back to Nebraska. Wanted to talk to you about a couple topics you mentioned that you're working on. You know, GMO labeling was a really big topic here, a year or two ago, and the USDA was charged with coming up with a GMO labeling system. And you mentioned today that you're getting close to maybe putting a rule out on that.
So we're done with our interagency approach and put out a proposed rule for labeling foods that have ingredients derived from genetic engineering. And we right now are having some interactions with other agencies, other in the federal government, to make sure that we're not crossing any lines that have to do with federal international trade or other regulations that are out there. And then we will be releasing those regulations for public comment.
Are you able to tell us anything about where you're at on that? I know the previous administration, and there were a lot of people in Congress, too, that felt like, you know, we should make more use of electronic communications, smartphones and such, to let consumers know what was in their food.
So the way the regulations are structured right now, and what I think you will see when they're published and people start making comments on them, is that there's some options, and we're gathering some public input on which direction we should go on some of these things. I think the intent largely was for something on the package that gave a initial indication, and that there would be openness for consumers to be able to delve deeper in if they use the QC code or different things like that.
Of course, the concern on the agriculture side and the food, some on the food side, was that, you know, by saying contains no GMOs, you might be insinuating that GMOs are a food safety issue.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so there's differing opinions within agriculture on whether more should be labeled or less should be labeled, depending on some processing features. And so that's all part of the considerations that we've put or we've looked at as we get ready to put the new rule forward.
Now, you also oversee biotechnology and USDA approval of biotech, right? You mentioned that you're working to maybe streamline that a bit.
So we have a task force working as a result of withdrawing the Part 340 rule that was actually put out at the very end of the last administration on January 19th. And we're starting over. We have a task force working within the USDA that is working under MRP, my mission area. It includes not only MRP scientists, but also experts in trade and AMS scientists, as well as scientists that work directly out of the secretary's office. And we're putting together a framework that will be able to put a broad concepts that we want to release in the very near future as far as where we think we're heading on not only biotechnology that we've already addressed and approved in different events that are released in agriculture right now, but also on future biotechnology, CRISPR specifically. And then we also want to open up a dialogue with EPA and FDA as well.
The CRISPR technology, gene editing, that's going to be a big topic going forward here.
So, you know, for the most part, CRISPR technology is used within a single species or a single animal, and we're trying to make the genes that already exist there express themselves at all the time. And CRISPR allows us to turn off or turn on genes so that we get the desired outcome. You know, shut off the horn gene in a dairy cow so we don't have to dehorn her.
So you think there will be some regulation of that area?
Actually, I think that, you know, when we're talking about something like, you know, breeding a polled animal that could be done over generations, or we could do it quicker with CRISPR technology. I don't think that we necessarily need to be regulating that. I think there's a good argument to be made that something that can be accomplished through a regular breeding that has traditionally happened in the past should be acceptable.
Okay, and I also wanted to ask you about animal disease traceability. This topic seems to be kind of heating up again. What are you doing in that area, and is it something that you're going to put more emphasis on?
So the livestock industry has raised this topic in the discussions over the Farm Bill. And they're wanting to talk about whether or not we should have a vaccine bank for foot and mouth disease. But so this also then brings in, you know, just the whole discussion of, you know, how do we protect ourselves against foreign animal diseases? How do we identify those foreign animal diseases and control and contain them if we would have one show up in the United States? And, you know, whose responsibility is what? And so, you know, as we're talking about that system, that includes preventive as well as prescriptive approaches, we definitely have to have a system in place where we know where animals have been and where they're going.
Will the USDA be kind of driving this going forward?
So we're looking at reopening the dialogue with especially the cattle industry. Because pork and poultry and the sheep industries have pretty much embraced traceability already. And so we're going to be reaching out to state groups. Washington's indicated that they're interested in maybe going mandatory within their state. There's been some talk about some other larger livestock states that are interested in doing some pilot programs. So we definitely want to partner with them and see where the industry wants to go. As the China market opened and traceability was a big issue as part of that discussion, I think there's a lot of people in the beef industry that realize that it has an impact on trade, the systems that we have in place in the United States.